I am Kendall. Please pray with me before I get started. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for just bringing me here and for the grace that you show us every day. I thank you that you love us and that you sent your son to die for us because we can't save ourselves. I thank you for your redemption and your power and your glory, Lord. Please just throw me to the ground and let these words be yours. Amen. Hi. So, like I said, I'm Kendall, and I'm a believer who struggles with lust, fear, anxiety, and performance, and lately there's some discontentment in there, too. Hey, guys. Okay. Despite the fact that my parents divorced when I was a baby, I was able to grow up in a loving Christian home. My mom married a great guy, her divorce lawyer, and he later adopted me and my sister. I went to a Christian school and tried to do all the things that a good Christian girl should do. However, so much of what I did was a facade. After my dad left when I was a kid, I was left with feelings of rejection and fear. I also acquired the generational sin of performance from my parents. A friend of mine once said, "We live in a fallen world, and we are fallen people. Therefore, we don't handle it well." When she said that, I thought, well, ain't that the truth? My biological father married a woman who wasn't so nice to my sister and I, and they moved to Florida when I was about 6 years old. My sister and I used to go and spend 2 weeks every summer with them. I was used to dread those 2 weeks because I knew that I would be verbally abused by my stepmom. She constantly berated my sister, mom, dad, and I, especially when my biological father was not around. Also, I became anxious and fearful around my dad because of his alcoholism. Fear and anxiety marked my time in Florida, and I didn't know how to deal with it. As I said before, my mom and former stepdad struggle with performance. I learned this behavior from them. Like my parents, I always wanted to look and act a certain way. I felt like I needed to be perfect in order for others to like me. Fear and anxiety were a way of life for me at home in Oklahoma as well as in Florida. Another source of anxiety occurred when I was in middle school. I have an older sister who went through a rebellious time at this point in my life. As is normal, my parents put a lot of time into her life, and I got left in the shadows. Again, I had a lot of apprehension over the chaos in my home, and I didn't handle it well. This was the beginning of my struggle with using lust as a coping mechanism. I became interested in sexual things at an early age. I first began reading books with graphic scenes in them when I was in the fifth grade. At this time in life, I also viewed pornography at a friend's house. As I got older, I continued to read books and watch movies that contained graphic scenes. The scary lie that I told myself was that I did not struggle with lust, so none of these things would bother me. I was naive, and I didn't have any idea that these things would come back to haunt me for years. I developed another coping mechanism my senior year of high school, controlling my food intake. I went through months of not allowing myself to eat more than a limited number of calories a day. I remember realizing just how unhealthy I was when my hair started falling out and I got dizzy every time I stood up. When I told my mother this, her response was, "Just drink some juice." You see, my mother also struggles with performance, and she was being deceived as well. One of the great things about my high school years was my involvement in a ministry called K-Life. My best friends from school and I went together, and it was a sweet time when we began to study God's Word together. I'm so grateful to God for having them talk to me about my struggle with food, even when I did not want to talk about it. God is faithful. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says this, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.' I was able to find victory over my eating disorder through the help of my friends and scripture. Proverbs 31:30 says this, 'Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised.' I meditated on the truth that God, the only one who really matters, is most concerned with our heart, not our outward appearance. Another highlight in my life occurred July 18th, 2005. My stepdad adopted my older sister and me. Wow, what an awesome display of God's grace in my life. It is sweet to know that he sees me as his daughter, even though I am not his biological daughter. At this time, I did not have any kind of communication with my biological dad, and I had no desire to tell him about my adoption and name change. After I graduated from high school, I went to college at the University of Kansas. Rock Chalk Jayhawk, go KU! College was bittersweet for me. I was able to participate in a Bible study through the KU Navigators, and I had many sweet times with my friends in the group. The downside of my college experience was that I isolated myself from the people that really knew me. I refused to go to a college where any of my friends from home went because I thought I was independent. Unfortunately, I was left in a pile of loneliness and heartache. Rather than letting others into my life, I reached for my coping mechanisms. I continued to use the coping mechanism of lust, and I also tried to meet my need for performance through schoolwork. I would study 5 or 6 nights every week. I stayed at my apartment by myself on the nights I wasn't studying because I thought I was too tired to do anything. By choosing to isolate and find my value in my performance, I prioritized sin over the Lord and those that love me. I judged everyone around me while I was trying to make myself look better. I would pick apart anyone. It didn't matter how great they really were. I gave them dirty looks and made rude comments if I thought that they were prettier, smarter, or funnier than me. When I would do this, I would feel ashamed, but I didn't care enough about the problem to stop it. I continued to try and make everyone else feel bad about themselves in order to make myself feel better, and I would wonder why these people didn't seem to like me. Go figure. My relationship with the Lord suffered for many reasons, one of them being that I felt like I needed to be perfect for Him to love me. I didn't believe the truth found in Romans 5:8, but God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. I tried to earn His love, and when I couldn't, I assumed I wasn't good enough for Him. As I became more anxious about school and friendships, I began to struggle with lust more and more. One of my problems is that I obsess over things. When I came down to go to graduate school in Dallas, my struggle got worse. I began to think that I was a sick, demented person. I told myself the lie that if anyone really knew me, they would despise me. I isolated because I was trying to hide my struggle. I thought that if I spent time with friends, they would realize my struggle and therefore no longer want to be my friend. Of course, my struggle only got worse because I refused to let it be in the light. I hit my rock bottom in February of 2007 when my thoughts tortured me day and night. I felt like if anyone knew my thoughts, I would be sent to prison. I thought that God had given up on me. I didn't understand that God had been there all along waiting for me to come back to Him. I knew about Celebrate Recovery, and I encouraged my roommate at the time to go. However, it took 4 months after my roommate started going for me to actually walk through the doors of recovery. I didn't think that I needed to go to recovery because I always thought that I had the willpower to take care of myself. It took me watching my roommate's life change for me to start the healing process. I have learned that there is a reason that I have anxiety and obsessive thought patterns. I have obsessive compulsive disorder. This has been a tough pill for me to swallow. For me, it was scarier than my struggle with lust because it feels more clinical. However, at the same time, it's kind of freeing to now know the reason why I used to triple check door locks. I have dealt with shame regarding this diagnosis. I believe the lie that I have OCD because of something that I did. On good days, I know that God has given me this so that I will learn to trust Him more. Working through recovery allowed me to recognize sin patterns in my life. I used to think that there was something seriously wrong with me and that I was beyond help. Recovery allowed me to see that there is a reason for my struggle with lust. My core struggles are anxiety and fear, and I learned that my response to those is lust. Knowing the cause of my struggle has allowed me to have victory over my sin. I have learned healthy responses to fear and anxiety. It is exciting to watch your life change when God sheds light on your sin and allows you to change. Jesus has taught me to trust in Him rather than to fear my sin. He is teaching me how to lean on Him rather than to try and struggle through life on my own. He has put amazing people in my life that I can be honest with about my struggles. I used to become stuck in my obsessive, lustful thoughts, and I didn't know how to get out of them. Now I text my friends to pray for me when my thoughts go crazy. It's amazing what God can do when you admit that you need help from Him and others. Also, I'm learning that God loves me just the way that I am. It is not about me, it's about Him. Psalms 139, 13 and 14 tell me this: "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." I'm going to say that again. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. I am learning that we do not have to prove our worth by how we look or what we do. We are wonderful because He calls us wonderful. Praise the Lord. Realizing this has changed my heart towards others. I wish I could snap my fingers and not ever sin again. However, there are moments when my insecurities cause me to want to fall back into my old ways. But I am learning to encourage others rather than to try and tear them down. I am working on appreciating others for who God has made them to be. How great is it that He cares enough about us to make us unique? One of my favorite things that happened to me during my recovery happened on the day that I gave my inventory, which is an account of the events in my life that occurs in the recovery process. I was talking to my sponsor before I gave my inventory, and she asked me how I was doing. My response was, "I'm nauseous. I don't want to do this. I can't believe I'm going to do this." I told her that she would not like me after I told her my junk. Her response to me was that she would love me even more after I told her. Then, after I told her, she responded with, "Yep, I love you even more." God used her along with my accountability partner to show me the depth of His grace for me that day. God has more love for us than we can possibly imagine. One part of recovery that helped me the most was the amends. When I made amends with my biological dad, I was able to tell him about my adoption. I had kept him in the dark for 2.5 years. I wanted to hurt him like he had hurt me. However, through recovery, God took my heart of stone and gave me a heart of flesh. Ezekiel 36:26 says this: "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." He gave me the ability to tell my dad the truth in a loving way, and my dad handled the news with grace. Praise the Lord for that. Jesus Christ worked in my heart through recovery. I was able to see just how much He loves me. Only He can change us. I'm so grateful that He wants to. He let me out of the prison of sin and shame that I was in and gave me freedom. After finding the road to recovery, my walk with God has become more intimate and sweet. I used to be really distracted when I tried to pray or read my Bible. Now I'm able to sit and talk to God. I am learning to praise Him rather than to just give Him a list of things that I want Him to change in my life. He has shown me what a treasure time alone with Him is. I went into recovery a shy, terrified woman and came out a confident woman who was excited to tell her story of grace. For those of you who are new here, we are so excited that you're here. If you're anything like me, you may be questioning whether or not God can actually change you. Trust me, He can. He is faithful. Philippians 1:6 tells us this: "Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Welcome. Thank you for listening to my story.